Father, I pray that you would help us in your word today to understand the things that you have written. Give us great wisdom and revelation in the Holy Spirit, Father, to know the things that concern this world and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk this morning about the Antichrist. We're going to talk about his origin and his power. And so if you would turn to 1 John chapter 4, I want to begin here because I think there's something pressing that we need to know. For people that believe in a pre-trib rapture, that means we believe that Jesus will come and take the church out of the earth before the tribulation begins. We believe that in regards to that, the Antichrist, the man of sin, is not going to be revealed till after the church leaves. And so a lot of times as Christians, we that believe that, we have this, you know, we kind of relax this attitude a little bit that we don't have to deal with the Antichrist. But the Bible tells us that the spirit of Antichrist has been operating in the world. And I think that we need to be very aware that this spirit of Antichrist needs to be taken very seriously. This is a conflict that has been going on since the Garden of Eden, where you find the spirit of Antichrist at work, even in that garden, as he is manipulating and deceiving and lying to Adam and Eve, particularly Eve, and deceiving her and bringing her into sin. And so the Bible in 1 John chapter 4, it says this in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I'm going to tell you, that's a verse that's just not taken seriously by so many people. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And I just want to stop there and just discuss this for a minute. Verse 3 says that there is that spirit of Antichrist that is already at work in the world. And as I said, that spirit of Antichrist was at work in the garden. It was that spirit of Antichrist that was leading a rebellion in the Tower of Babel, when the whole world was all together, the whole world was of one language. And in this unity, this world wanted to build a tower that would reach up into the heavens. Bear in mind, this is right after the flood, when the whole world was underwater. Perhaps they're building a tower to escape another judgment of God. But one thing is for sure, it was an occultic means of world unity whereby they would be able to accomplish things. God even said by the unity of the people that whatever they think, they would be able to accomplish. And God, who created man in his image, man is very powerful. Man is very creative. We have sent satellites up into space. Just recently, again, there was another lunar landing. And this is phenomenal technology and phenomenal ability of men and the ability to do things. And this is generated in the Tower of Babel by satanic powers. And God comes and he dissembles that, and he scatters the people with different languages throughout the earth. And then you find ancient warfare where you see the spirit of Antichrist at work trying to overthrow the world, whether it was the kingdom of Babylon that we studied, or the Medes and the Persians, or the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire. And then you find modern day Antichrist spirits attempting to work through World War I and World War II, and world leaders that would seek to annihilate the Jewish people. These are all the spirit of Antichrist, that spirit that tries to distort and corrupt the very person of Jesus Christ and the very purposes of God in the earth. And so this Spirit is at work. But one day, and we believe one day soon, this Spirit is going to find a host in a particular human being. And that Spirit is going to enter this man, and he is going to possess this man, giving him incredible power, incredible wisdom and ability. And he is going to mesmerize the entire world practically through the working of miracles and power and wonders and signs, intellect, charisma. This is going to be the man that the whole world goes after. Many believe that he's alive today and soon to appear once the church of Jesus is removed from the earth. The Bible reveals to us that there are real spiritual forces that are at work in the world. We oftentimes take this for granted. We oftentimes ignore this reality because we are so physical. We are so aware of our physical surroundings and our physical life that we don't take into an account every day of our life that there are spiritual powers manipulating physical things. What we see in the physical has already occurred in the spiritual. And therefore, what's happening in the spiritual will soon manifest itself in the physical world. And we don't always realize that. People are naive in regards to the music they listen to, the movies that they watch, the avenues that they give spiritual powers to move into their lives or their homes or their families just by something that they watch. It's innocent. It's just fun. It's just a show. It's just a song. It's just music. What could be wrong with that? Not understanding that there are spiritual forces that are at work in it. And we open ourselves up to things, and we go to church, and we pay attention. We have a confession that we believe in Jesus, but we don't spend near as much time in the Spirit of God as we do in the spirit of the world, which is the spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit destroys. That spirit is what's causing people, boys and girls, to cut themselves in their bedrooms because of the pressure and the pain and the depression that they're in. Or it is that spirit that has taunted you or even tempted you with suicide and depression and gloom, and nobody likes you and nobody loves you and I'm not happy and my life is not fulfilled. That's the spirit of Antichrist that you've allowed to come near you. And if we're not careful, it will bring incredible devastation. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 10. And I want us to read just a little insight here. The book of Daniel is just one of the hallmark books in the Old Testament that gives such revelation to the future and to spiritual things. In Revelation 10... the Bible says in Daniel 10, verse 12, he said to me, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. He's not talking about a natural prince. He's talking about a spiritual prince. And Michael, one of the chief princes. We know this is Michael, the angel in heaven. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. This is an angel talking to Daniel. This is Gabriel, the angel of the Lord talking to Daniel. And Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, is telling him that the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days. For 21 days, Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, was in a fight with a spiritual prince who had authority in Persia. And the battle was so intense that God released Michael to go help Gabriel. And when Michael came, Gabriel was able to come through to Daniel with the message. And he says in verse 14, I am come to make you understand what will befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days. When he had spoken such words to me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. I just couldn't talk. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and I spoke and I said to him that stood before me, oh, my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you've strengthened me. And he said, know thou wherefore I come to you. And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. And in this, he says, I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that withholds or helps with me in these things but Michael, your prince. I believe that Michael is one of the chief princes over Israel. And so if you recall what we've studied as the major empires of the world, it would be the empire of Babylon, and Babylon would be overthrown by the Medes and the Persians, and the Persian empire would be overthrown by Greece. Well, this is happening in Daniel 10 in the spirit. In the spirit, Gabriel is sent to give Daniel an answer to his prayers. While he's on his way to give Daniel the answer, this demonic spirit, who is a prince over Persia, withstood Gabriel from getting to Daniel. So God releases Michael, who is an archangel in heaven and a prince in Israel. And when Michael comes, Gabriel goes through and he gives Daniel the message. And then Gabriel says, now I have to leave you. I'm going to go back with Michael and we are going to fight this prince of Persia. And I want you to know that the prince of Greece is coming. In other words, the overthrow of the Persian empire happened in the spirit among angelic principalities. And when it was overthrown in the spirit and the prince of Greece came in the spirit and overthrew the prince of Persia, then it was manifested in the natural on the earth. There are spiritual forces fighting for the United States of America. It's not the White House. It's not the Congress. That's not where the battle is. And yet Christians don't pray. It's amazing to me we don't pray. This angel was sent by God to Daniel because he was praying. And so this battle goes on in the spirit. There are things happening right now in the spirit that are going to manifest themselves in the natural. There are things in your life that are spiritual and they're spiritually taking place. And maybe you're getting away with something, but you have no idea the movement that's happening in the spirit that could begin to wreak havoc upon your life because you've allowed yourself to be exposed to wicked spiritual things. It's happening there first before it manifests in the natural. In Revelation chapter 12, I want you to see this just to go into the New Testament and see a very similar situation. In Revelation 12 verse 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon upon her under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. In verse 3 it says, there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his heads. These are nations and authority. These are nations and power. This is primarily a European kingdom. The Antichrist will be the head of a revived Roman Empire. We'll go into that through this study. But I want you to understand these are things that are appearing in heaven. This is a wonder in the heavens. And he goes, if you will, to verse 9. or verse 7, and it says, and there was a war in heaven. And here's Michael again, the archangel. You see his name come up again. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. This is a very strategic, very ordered militaries in the spirit realm. Michael has his angels and Satan has his angels, and they are warring in the heavens. And verse 8, they did not prevail. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And I just want you to see from a text in the Old Testament and a text in the New Testament. And there are obviously more texts that prove this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's what we wrestle against and fight against, you know. And that's why in that same context in Ephesians 6, Paul's saying, and pray for us. Pray, 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 pray. What is one of the one things that Christians say they find the hardest thing to do is pray? Why? Because the devil knows that when you pray, he's done. Especially when we pray in the Holy Spirit. But I just want you to see in the context of this, guys, that there is a heavenly world that is engaged in a conflict and a battle. It doesn't just happen during the tribulation period in Revelation 12. It was happening all the way back in the days of Daniel and all the way back in the Garden of Eden. This heavenly battle, this contest among spiritual beings. And you as a person, a human being made in the image of God, you have this unique capacity. You have this unique birthright within you, this ability to have a relationship that is both spiritual and physical in its nature. You are something. You are a created being that is in fellowship, a relationship with spiritual things and natural things. You may not think that you are. To think that you are just a human being and your flesh and your blood is the spirit of Antichrist. But to know that there's this spiritual world, and I want to devote myself to God, and I do not want to open the doors to Satan in my life, is very, very important in our life. We cannot take these for granted. Listen, there are multitudes of Christians today exposing themselves to a dark world. By the mercy of God, he prevents those things from like a wave just flowing over our life by the mercy of God. We as Christians are given unique authority over these powers. And that's amazing. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. We have unique authority and power in the earth today. Something can be done, but not in the political arena, in the spiritual arena, through the body of Christ. Not that there won't be activity in the political arena, influencing the darkness with the light, which we're supposed to do. But we must understand that this thing is won or lost in the spirit, and we must be engaged in prayer. I want you to understand, because of this spiritual world and spiritual powers and principalities, they know what's going on. If things are happening in the spiritual world before they're manifested in the physical world, and that battle is raging right now, they know what's going on, and they know how that moment is approaching and how close that moment is. And so when you have people today, and I want you to understand the spirit of Antichrist. When you have people today that are crying out with fear for the environment, and they're afraid that we're going to burn and we're going to destroy the environment and the world is going to catch on fire and there's just going to be hardship for everybody and the waters are going to rise and all of these fears of our atmosphere and things of that nature, they're right. They're actually right. Because it's spiritual. But Satan controls the narrative. And Satan, because he controls the narrative, does not want you or people on this planet to know the real reason that's happening. And so Satan provides his own narrative that we need to be more careful. We need to stamp out the carbon footprint. We need to be careful because men are destroying the planet. It's not that. The Bible says that the earth is groaning for its deliverance, and it's like the birth pains of a woman. That's what the Bible tells us. And because that narrative is not being given, men are not preparing to meet God. Men are trying to come together in their own unity like the Tower of Babel and trying to create a Garden of Eden again rather than this world that is convulsing for its deliverance. And God is about to bring judgment and God is going to destroy the atmosphere. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation that men on the earth are going to be burned from the sun. It's going to happen. There's going to be famine. There's going to be pestilence. The Bible tells us this. And the devil knows it. And so a lot of the things that you hear being cried about today in the public, listen for the Antichrist voice. You will hear that spirit speaking. The fear. A one world government. A cashless society. A mark in your hand. To do business, listen and lift up your head and know that your redemption is drawing near. But warn people. Hey, did you know that the Bible said this 1,000, 2,000 years ago? Did you know the Bible already said it? Quit listening to Fox News and read John. I mean, come on, get ready to meet Jesus Christ. And yet there are hardly any Christians talking to their friends about that. Which is tragic. We have some of the greatest tools of gospel preaching and evangelism than any other generation of Christians. And we don't utilize them because we don't know the Bible. We don't understand the truth. We can't go and we get into the narrative of the devil, don't we? And so we hear these environmentalists and we see these protests and these people are so afraid about what's about to happen to the world. And we choose political arguments and political sides about that. Well, that's just ridiculous. No, let me tell you why you're afraid. Let me tell you why you're troubled. Do you know that you're absolutely right? But do you know why it's going to happen? And do you know there's nothing you can do to prevent it from happening because God has decreed it? And then you begin to talk to them and open up the scriptures with them. And I guarantee you they'll listen. This is exciting. It's thrilling for us to be able to do this. The devil knows. He knew when the birth of Jesus was at hand. He knew when the birth of Moses was at hand. He studies the scriptures. He knows the prophecies of God. He understands them. There's going to be cataclysmic damage done to the environment. People talk about multiverse stuff. I don't know all that stuff. But other dimensions and things of that nature. Well, if you talk about it in regards to a spiritual world, there is another dimension. I mean, men are hitting on something because of the spirit of Antichrist. So in chapter 12 of Revelation, you read about this dragon. And the Bible says in verse 9 that the dragon is Satan. In chapter 13 of Revelation, he says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. This is kingdoms. And upon his horn, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name of blasphemy. And he describes this beast. This beast is the prophesied Antichrist. This ruler of this Roman Empire. I want you to understand that this Antichrist, this human man who becomes satanically possessed, not just demon possessed, dragon possessed, Satan possessed, Lucifer possessed, derives all of his power from Satan. Every desire and every strategy that is in Satan becomes his. The abilities that he is given comes from Satan, who is very powerful and very real. That's why John said in his epistle in 1 John that we began reading, don't believe every spirit. And just because they come holding a Bible and saying, Jesus, don't believe it. Test it. Test the prophets. The Bible says, and I said this to some of to us a while back, but I'm going to just cover this quickly. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel is hid, it is hid because the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. If you don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, Satan is blinding your mind. I want nothing to do with him. But God causes his light to shine in your heart. Ephesians chapter 2:2 says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He still operates in the air. He's not thrown out of that yet like he will be in Revelation 12. In Ephesians chapter 1, it reveals that Satan has set up a kingdom with authorities and powers. Structured. Strategic, powerful, influential. Their goal is to not rattle chains in a bedroom and knock dishes off in the kitchen. Their goal is to dominate nations and cultures and societies. To discredit God and the person of Jesus Christ. And one of their top desires is the absolute destruction of your life. Their history is pretty successful. Pretty successful. They still have the majority of mankind in their grip. Very, very few people have escaped Satan's hold. Very few. Multitudes of these people sit in our churches, still under Satan's rule. Very sad. The Bible says he is the dragon. He's the dragon when he is destroying. He is killing. He is butchering and murdering. 13 million Christians were slain around the city of Rome in the first two centuries. 13 million. This was the dragon at work in the government. Understand that Satan's desire is the government and the oppression of people. He's also referred to as the serpent, for he is deceptive and sly and careful and hidden. And when appropriate, comes out to bite. He is Satan. Which means he is the accuser, the prosecutor, the slanderer, with the audacity not only to accuse men to one another, but to accuse you before God. His attacks are in the forms of a devil, a dragon, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a roaring lion, one that is cunning. His weapons are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how he gets us. He entices us with things that he knows we want. That's why he enticed Jesus to turn stones to bread, because Jesus was hungry, the lust of the flesh. It wasn't a sinful lust. He was just hungry. Turn the stones to bread. And Jesus, who wants his glory to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea, Satan, that lust of the eyes, bow to me and I'll give you the nations of the world. Well, Jesus has a right to them, but I will not take them Satan's way. I will take them in my Father's way. And he would resist the devil. And the devil comes to us. He comes to us as a friend. He comes to us offering when he comes in that fashion, like a snake or something like that. He's your best friend. He's going to help you. He's going to deliver. You've got lust. You've got desires. You've got opportunity. You've got talent. You can go far. You can do something. You know, you just need to break away from these friends. You need to deny God. You can't go far. If you're a Christian, you got to do this. You got to do that. And Satan manipulates all of these things. That's just a movie. It's just all good entertainment. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to bother you. It's just a movie. Yeah, they got witchcraft in it. Yes, they've got spells in it. Yes, they glorify the darkness. Yes, they glorify demons. But it's just a movie. It's innocent fun. It's just a little innocent book about witchcraft. There's no problem. It's just a little horoscope. What's the big deal if I read it? Because God said, I hate this. I hate it because I know the powers behind it. And you're opening yourself up to it. I know what it can do to you. God says he hates. Not because it's a threat to God. It's not. But God knows what it can do to us. This is the spirit of Antichrist that works in the world. In the media, he's the accuser. I just want you to see this. In the media, he's the accuser. The news thrives on bringing out everybody's faults and everybody's problems and everybody's anger and everybody's upsetness and everybody's gloom. That's what the media does. It just exploits all of that, accuses everybody, slanders everybody. In the school system, he's the dragon. He's ruthless. This is the truth. This is what you're going to believe. And you know that's the truth. He's the dragon in the school system. We're going to teach evolution, but we're not going to let that creation get into our school system. We're not going to teach that too. We're just going to teach evolution. This is what we're going to do. We're going to teach that there's an unlimited number of genders. This is what we're going to do. We're changing the whole thing, and the school system's going with it, and they're going to educate our children, and the media is going to support it. And the entertainment community is going to make it look really, really nice. We're going to entertain you with it in our movies. We're going to entertain you with it in our music and in our magazines and in our promotions, the entertainment industry, from our sports stars to anything else that you could possibly imagine. The whole entertainment industry is also going to point to Satan's narrative. And all of this hits you almost 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, you're exposed to media, education, and entertainment. And it's all, practically all, from Antichrist. And we go to church for 2 hours a week. And we think that's going to save our children. In our homes and our families, this is serious business. This is serious stuff. What is a parent to do with the onslaught of all of these avenues? And add to that social media. Add to that the information that kids have through TikTok and Instagram and their phones and their peers and all. I mean, 80% of what they see and learn is from social media platforms and things of that nature. Do you believe in the nature of your God-given help? Your God-given help. Do you believe in the nature of that? Do you believe in the nature of your God-hating enemy? Do you believe it? Do you believe you have an enemy? Do you believe he operates the way the Bible says? And do you believe you have God-given promises, help, and power? And to which do you avail yourself of? Do we try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord? Being lukewarm, and God says, that makes me sick. I would spew you out of my mouth. In our generation today, Christian parents are allowing their children to die without a fight. Without a fight. We're too scared to tell them the truth because we might offend them. We're too scared to bring correction because we might break them. We might sever a relationship. It's the generation and the society that we live in today. But Satan is already at work in the minds of untold numbers of Christians by media, the school system, and advertisers. There was a day when church was important. There was a day when the Bible was important. There was a day when faithfulness and loyalty and the pursuit of God was the priority of our life. It's not this day. You know that. I'm not saying this about you guys necessarily. I'm just saying it in general. This is not the day that we live in for that. It's okay if you miss. Kids have ball games. Tired. Why don't we just rest? It's Wednesday night. I'm exhausted. Just go home. Just relax. Start back next week. And Lot is the example. He went to Sodom for economic reasons, not for sin. Spirit of Antichrist was pulling him. Pulling him. He sees an opportunity to make money and he takes advantage of it. He becomes successful, even becomes important in that city. Lot had enough of God to preserve himself, even though his righteous soul vexed him day after day after day. But his family did not have enough of God to keep them. He got his money. He lost his family. Sad turn of events. I guarantee you Satan is working in that. They were poisoned by the propaganda of Sodom. His family was. And even when God was warning its swift destruction, Lot had no power to keep his family out of it. Even his wife would turn back and become a pillar of salt. So what is the point of the church? Why do I bring that up? Because if you think this is church, there is no point then. If this is it, there is no point. But if this is to be the habitation of God by the Holy Spirit, and if the gifts of God are to work in His church, and if the believers are to pray with intercessory type of prayers, then we are the only thing on this earth that has the successful power to war against these entities. We are the only thing. We are the only thing that has authority over these powers. We walk with the seal of God on our life, giving us protection and notice to satanic powers that we are off limits. Ephesians 1 says you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is a mark of ownership, and demons see it. You belong to God. I have no rights to you. I have no authority over you. I cannot demand or master you. You belong to another, like you brand a cattle. I've been branded by God. The spirit world sees that. But this is corporate victory. It's corporate victory. It's the church. And remember in our study on the church, you're not the church by yourself. The church is a collection of many that make one. And many do not live in that corporate body. Therefore, they lack intimacy and provision that could be theirs from their Father. Already being influenced by the spirit of Antichrist, they have neglected the most important thing to Jesus Christ on earth. And that is His church. It's the most important thing to Jesus, His church. Its growth and its health. It is the church alone that provides God the opportunity to manifest his wisdom. The church alone, I think it's a good way for me to quit, right? But I just simply say this to you. The church is a place of protection and power and warfare that engages itself successfully against Satan, his intentions, and his powers. That's why the church has to be removed before the man of sin can do what he wants to do in the world. The church won't let him, because the Holy Spirit, he who is in us, is greater than he who's in the world. Therefore, he must depart for that work to be done. Father, I pray your blessings upon us, Lord, to understand the spirit that's at work, the man of sin that is coming. And Father, for us to look and be aware and see the hour is upon us. The conversations of the children of wrath are all about the end times conflict. It is upon us, Lord. Your word has shown us clearly. Help us, Father, to be strengthened with might by your spirit in our inner man. Help us, Father, to be empowered by your grace to live victoriously over our lust because of the life of Jesus. To be free, to be forgiven, to be whole. And Lord, to never knowingly yield ourselves to the spirits of darkness. Wherever they may be and however they may work, let us shut every door. And Father, when we are without that knowledge, continue to give us divine protection. For we do not willfully want to turn to anything that is not of the light or of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.